Welcome to Rooster Radio, a broadcast dedicated to supporting and promoting local artists in the Gaston County and surrounding areas.
What just happened to me? I'm like, what are you? I had to calm him down, and I got him talking. And I was like, well, what happened? He's like, well, dude, I met this chick on MySpace, and I went to her house, and he's like, we started hooking up, and next thing I know, she was on top of me in reverse cowgirl, and she started meowing like a cat.
That's so awesome.
Like, you would say that.
That is awesome.
You would be
the one.
My knee jerk reaction at was like, well, did you start barking at her? Like, I would have just started barking. And he's like, no, it fucking freaked me out. Because, like, she was, like, really into it. Like, she was, like, doing her head like this and stuff. And yeah. I guess that's a little creepy. I don't know. I guess they call them furries now.
Did she start watching herself?
Babe, keep meowing. Oh, roof.
Are we good now?
Oh gosh.
Oh, that's awesome.
Great. And that's how we start this episode.
Great way to start this podcast.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking to Encre Noir. Thank you so much for Four Fifths of Encre Noir. Thank you so much for being here. I've been looking forward to this one for a while. Oh, yeah. Just go ahead and introduce yourself and then we'll get into it.
I am CJ. I play drums.
I'm Aiden. I do vocals.
I'm Gavin. Attempted guitars.
I'm David. I'm definitely attempted bass, you know.
And we're missing
Steve.
Yeah. Other guitar.
Steve.
He's always missing, though.
Yeah. Lost at all times.
Sleep on the couch in the back.
Asleep.
And Encre Noir will be doing... Is this going to be your first headline?
No.
Second
headline? Damn it.
Ah,
I was kind of hoping it'd be your first headline.
It's the first headline here, though,
first
right?
Headline, yeah, here.
Still excited for it.
Yeah, this Friday, May 3rd, get tickets. We got, how do you pronounce? Is it Sway?
Sway.
Sway.
Yeah.
We got The White Horse and Caught Off Guard, mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah.
Cute,
yeah.
Great, sick lineup, great local bands. Really looking forward to it. And let's just start the show by talking about how the show came together. Can we do that? Are we cool
yeah.
with that?
Yeah.
Because, I'm kind of the asshole in this story, so it's true. So you guys were here a few months back, and after the show, somebody had taken a Sharpie and written shit all over the men's bathroom walls, the door in the men's bathroom. They wrote shit on the door of the...
Eat shit and die.
Yeah.
And we had seen, like, Encre Noir was in Magic and the Sharpie in the same handwriting and stuff. So I reached out to Gavin and I was like, what the fuck is this?
Like,
what is this? he's like, I don't know. Like, somebody, but without really asking you to, you guys offered to come and clean it up. And paint over it, and I was really taken. I was like, "Wow, like, you know, that's really cool." And so I let you. I was like, "Yeah, come on, help us clean it up." And I knew then that I was going to make the offer to you. When you came back with that, I was like, "Man, these are great kids." So you guys came back and you painted over and helped me clean it up, and I thank you for that. But I wanted to give you something in return, and I offered you a Friday night headline, and you guys put this show together. So, yeah, I wasn't really trying to be an asshole, but I was really upset.
That's fair.
It's understandable.
Yeah. Yeah. So thank you. And it just spoke volumes to your character. And you guys, you know, it's no secret. You're blowing up. You know, you guys have been putting in work. And let me say right now, you guys ain't blowing up for nothing. You guys are working your asses off. Mm-hmm. So talk to me a little bit. Go back to when Gavin joins the band, because that's when I first became aware of you. So go back to how did you get involved, and then talk about the journey from there?
Well,
See, it kind of started before me too with Aiden and CJ. Like, I want to talk about that.
CJ, you're the best at telling the story.
okay, I guess I'll tell it.
Nobody wants to tell the story.
He's good at telling the story. Listen to him.
So, I actually met Aiden at Emo Night. Forget which venue it was.
It was the Black Box, right?
At Black Box, yeah. So it was like the official Emo Night, the one where they can like have people up on stage, like dance to the songs and everything. And me and Aiden's favorite band is Bring Me the Horizon. And we didn't know each other at the time, but we were both on stage. Bring Me the Horizon came on. We were the only two people getting into it. Like, everyone else around us was just, like, you know, bobbing their heads and everything. But me and Aiden were just, like, going to town, headbanging, trying to engage the crowd. Like, we were, like, the front man of Bring Me the Horizon. And after that, he walks up to me and he introduces himself. We get each other's socials and then don't speak to each other for, like, another month or two. And then there's a second Emo Night. I see him again. He's like, hey, I remember you from the last Emo Night. You want to hang out with me the rest of the night? So me and him hang out, and then, again, a couple weeks go by. Don't even talk. It's like we only see each other at Emo Night. But this was actually literally the day after I got fired from my five-year job as a barista. Aiden hits me up, and he's like, hey, I'm trying to put a band together. Do you play guitar by chance? And I'm like, nope. I play drums. And he's like, well, come out and jam out with us. Like, we're just going to see what we can get put together. Like, you know, you're welcome to come out and hang out. And so I was like, well, I don't have work anymore. So, like, nothing better to do. So, like, it was literally just like, if I was still working, I wouldn't have even gone. But, I mean, I had no choice because I was just like, there's nothing else to do. Might as well just make the best out of it. So I go over there, play drums for him. He loves my style, so we stay in contact. And
at this point, is it just the two of you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we had, like, a couple other people who were coming in. It was in the Charlotte area that were, like, playing drums and bass and stuff. And they were both, you know, really good, but they didn't really kind of click with me and CJ personally. Yeah. We have a lot of the same stylistic taste. Which, funny thing is, actually, the song that we were on stage to was Chelsea Smile by Bring Me the Horizon, mm-hmm. and now we cover it, and we are planning on maybe releasing that cover. You know, a little spoiler, not too much. But anyway, back to the story is now is kind of where Gavin comes in.
Yeah, so that kind of y'all are existing like that for a little while, not really had anything set in stone. And so, yeah, I was with my previous band, and then kind of out of the blue got let go. And I knew pretty quickly I wanted to put something else together. So I had posted, and Aiden reached out to me. He's like, hey, here's my phone number.
Y'all didn't know each other before this?
Well, we talked a couple of times, but nothing like ever, you know, just like acquaintances, I guess.
Yeah.
So he was like, hey, I got a guy who plays drums. Here's my phone number. Let's get on the phone. Let's talk and figure something out. And yeah, so talked to him. We met up and figured out we wanted to do this whole band. We got an early lineup put together, and pretty quickly, like, we had a couple practices. And
I think it was like two.
Yeah, two practices.
Two with you guys, and then because I live so far away, I was like, I can't afford gas right now to drive down every week.
Yeah, so you weren't even, like, there for the first couple practices, and we wrote Dear Jealousy.
In three practices.
Yeah. The two practices without you, then you came and added drums.
Yep. Awful practices, by the way. Like, it was terrible.
Yeah.
It still came together.
And, yeah, that song came together super quickly, and then we just got straight into recording it.
I think it's because all of us were mad. Honestly.
Yeah, yeah, we were putting all that built up anger and energy and stuff
into that one song.
And I think it really... just how quickly we put it out, like, really surprised people, and that's kind of like how it kind of started off for us. And over time, we had a lineup changes. Now David and Steve are in the band.
I could speak on that if you want, like, the not much about it. Just like the brief rundown is, we had two other members who left the day before our first show. So we ended up playing our first show with three. We almost didn't even play it. It still actually was awesome.
I was really not wanting to play it because I thought it'd be a really shitty thing to do. Like our first show, like we have these people that really wanted to come out and see us, and then it's not even like the full band. But looking back, I'm really glad we did it.
Well, we also really like had no choice because we had another band drop on that show. So if we were to drop two, it would have been two bands.
Oh yeah, that was you'd have really pissed off that venue owner.
So it was actually a house show.
Yeah, it was a house show, but I think that's probably one of the most important shows that we ever played because it solidified us as members in like just going on like we're going to come through all these problems along the way and like we just got to push through them, like we can't just give up. So like that show meant a lot to us just because it was like, okay, we just went through something really, really shitty and like, but we're going to do it anyways.
Well, what I'm hearing so far is like, you know, you had every reason to just say fuck it and do something different, but you've stuck to this thing. You must have known early on that there was something special. Am I right?
Absolutely. Yeah. Like I would say our relationship's developing over time. We love each other. We're like a family rather than just a band. And when Steve and David joined after that show, they just fit our styles like so well, and now it's kind of just like, damn, we want to do this for the rest of our lives, be in it together and make it a thing, you know, if possible.
But it'd be nice.
You definitely can.
Yeah.
The potential's there. There's no question about it. Dave, how did you and Steve get involved?
Well, Gavin and I go way back. We had a band back in high school called Hidden Inhibitions.
And sounds like a porno.
Right?
Hidden Inhibitions.
It was not very good.
It
Thursday.
Was Metallica wannabe.
Yeah, we were both Metallica wannabes. That's how we met. Like, we had a free period and lunch in high school. And so every day I'd hear him just like playing every Kirk Hammett solo.
I would hang out in the band room and just on my electric guitar. Just I wouldn't eat lunch. I would just play guitar the entire lunch period.
And I was like, we should start a band. And then we did. And, you know, we did that for a couple years. But anyways, we kind of went our separate ways on that, you know.
Yeah.
Anyways, he'd reached out to me about, you know, Encre needing a bass player. And I was involved in another project at the time. I was like, I'll do both. And so I did both for a while. And Encre was just, like, in the first little while, it was a really, really good fit. So I ended up getting out of the other one. And then Steve, I dated his sister. And he's like,
stuck now, boy.
Yeah.
If this band's going anywhere, marry that girl.
That's the plan. But so Steve was like kind of interested. I couldn't tell if he was interested in getting involved or not. But
Steve is not he's very chill about everything. He's very neutral.
Yeah. But my girlfriend Lily, she was trying to be like, hey, y'all should ask Steve. I didn't know if she was just like saying that or like Steve had like wanted that. So kind of, you know, held off for a little bit. But
we after this whole like thing with our first show and then the two guys dropping, we were gonna exist as just a four piece. Like just one guitar. And we were like, well, for live shows we wanna have like kind of a fuller sound. So why don't we bring in like a live guitar player, like not necessarily in the band. Talked to Steve. And
Eventually I did talk to Steve, and he did want to do it. So he showed up, and you know, he played with us, and the practice went really well. He didn't talk much, but the music was good. So you know,
and we just clicked really, really well. Yeah. So we just ended up bringing him on as a permanent member,
just like really quickly too.
I would say like Steve really impressed me personally because the way he writes is very similar to how I like to like vocalize, and he also is a very talented vocalist himself. So it was nice.
So now
having,
you've got somebody to kind of back you up when
he
you
helps
it.
Me a lot because like I get really tired and winded with all the jumping around and you know doing vocals too. So when Steve like comes in for his parts, it's a nice you know breather, and he still sounds like awesome every time. You know.
Yeah.
But
right on. I mean, you guys have. It's thank you for sharing your story, by the way, because it's rare that you get you guys are catching fire right now and. You know, it's interesting to see how it come together because you want to know that there was some struggle, right? You want to know that it didn't just happen overnight because it never does. And you know, so now you've got a full lineup. You're starting to play shows. You know, obviously there's a long, you can take this so much further, but you're in the beginning stages of it, and you're becoming one of like the premier bands around here. Talk a little bit about, are you feeling any kind of pressure? Like, what's the ride like? Like, I tell you, let's start with this. Was there a moment where you were like, holy shit, like, we're kind of a big deal right now? Or like, did you have like a moment where like it kind of hit you all as like, this is a thing?
I think for me,
the January 29th show at the Milestone, that I don't know what it was. That show felt surreal.
Yeah. I think, for me, it's seeing just the same people coming out, like, and seeing us every time we play. Like, we have, like, this group of people that follows us around. Like,
yeah, you do.
The Entree Army. And we played, like, far out places. Like, I remember we played High Point once, and, you know, it's pretty far out from where we are, and we still had, like, a decent group of people come out to see us.
Yeah, from, like, all over. I would say for me it's probably like the same moment, CJ, or either the Slay Together Fest, because it was so cool.
Oh boy, that was like, wild.
That was for me, like, that was probably one of our biggest crowds, and they were just very supportive, awesome. And like, some guy told me after Slay Together, he was like, I've seen Cold Chamber live and y'all are better than Cold Chamber.
I was like
that's big shoes to fill. And at that moment I blushed, so that's kind of like the moment where I was like, I've seen Cold Chamber live. So that's kind of like, that was like one of my kid bands. So like, that to me was kind of like my surreal moment, as of like, damn, people really like us.
I have a similar thing to that. I think we played here actually, and I got off stage and someone came up to me and asked if I like Lamb of God. And I'm like, dude, I love Lamb of God. That's crazy that you like ask me that just from like hearing me play.
Yeah.
Like, they're one of my biggest influences.
We can tell.
Yeah.
I do have, and I still stand by this, and y'all know that because we've had this conversation several times. Slay Together Fest, when your backing tracks would not play, that was the best you've ever sounded.
That was another like defining moment for the band, because like I said, like, there's a lot of problems that have like we've come across, and we just have to push through them.
Yes.
And like, there was a moment where like I was like, man, like, we can't do this. Like, our set is very heavy.
I could
heavy
see
on the
that
electronics.
On your face.
Oh yeah, yeah.
The anxiety.
I was pissed. I was so pissed. Oh, yeah. But I was like, we got to do it. Like, everyone's here to see us. Like, everyone's inside right now. So like, we got to do it. We got to figure it out.
And the clapping with Gothplex instead of electronics, like, they took over for us. Mm-hmm.
And big props to CJ, too, for, like,
our
backing tracks weren't working, so he had to come up with stuff on the spot to, like, fill in empty space or fill in spots where we had, like, electronics.
Yeah,
absolutely.
And it sounded great.
That's the kind of shit that makes you a pro, dog.
Yeah. When you push through it, you just do it.
Yeah, that's how you become a professional.
We were originally going to play a new song, which we are actually scrapping. But we were originally going to play a new song at Slay Together, but the whole beginning part of it is like heavily electronics and then just Steve playing guitar.
Yeah.
So I was like, there's no way we could play this. Like, there's literally no way. So it's just like on the spot, we're like, everyone loves the My Own Summer cover. Let's just play it. And so like, it was literally just us looking at each other on stage. We're like, what do we do? And I'm just like, My Own Summer. Just do it.
But watching y'all, honestly, at Slay Together Fest, watching your crowd control, like, you got the crowd wrapped around your finger. You walked across people's hands. If y'all weren't there for that, you fucking missed it. But he walked across the crowd.
The only other person I've ever seen do that is Method Man. Right, that's the only other person I've seen in concert like walk on hands like that.
They're hyping me up right now. Do y'all hear this?
No, like, the ego is growing.
But see, here's
by the
thing.
I did
this after the show, and I told them that, and they were just like, "No, we're done." It's like all studs.
Well, I mean, we're giving you all kinds of love right now, but you know, that's kind of what we do. I mean, we want you to feel like rock stars. One of the things I said early on, I want people, the reason why we don't have a big fucking kitchen but we got all that equipment is because I want every one of y'all to walk off stage feeling like a fucking rock star.
Hell yeah.
You know, and it's not just you. Everybody and the opportunity is there. You know, we've had bands go up and just kind of stand there and play, and it's fill the space, dog. And you guys really do fill the space. And that's part of the reason why you have a following.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So enough kissing your ass.
It's not kissing ass. It's just what we were saying earlier is that we know that one of the bands that play here is eventually going to blow up. And
you're starting
I would put money on y'all. Yeah, I would. That's not kissing, that's honesty.
All right, so that's a good, yeah. Thank you for teeing that up for me, because that kind of lets me shift gears into the thing that I want to really say to you guys. And Gavin mentioned that you heard me talk about this on another episode of the podcast, that, and I didn't mention you by name, but you kind of knew I was talking about you. You know, one of the things that we talk to bands about from time to time is how often they play certain areas, or you get going out and getting on tour and stuff. And I love, like, right now you guys are taking or playing every show that you can. You're getting out there, you're getting your name out there, playing in front of everybody. But at some point, the next step is getting out of this scene and into other scenes and getting other people. Like, it's almost selfish of us to just keep you here in Charlotte. Like, you need other places need to see you, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, my advice, which, you know, take it or leave it, I don't really know shit, but my advice would be, you know, finish out 2024 strong with as many shows as you can, but then next year, shift your focus, man. Get into other markets. Start hitting college towns.
Touring.
Yes.
And yes, you're probably not going to make any money on tour, but you're going to keep building on what you're doing.
And experience.
Experience. Yeah. Just, you know, sell a bunch of merch. You know, just be prepared. Have a bunch of merch ready for sale, and that's how you get from from one town to the next. And I want to see it happen for you. And then maybe next year you play 3 or 4 shows in this area, and then imagine what the crowds are going to be like then. You know what I'm saying? You give people a chance to miss you. You come back and you do a show. Yeah, we might not even be big enough for one of those shows. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. You may have to go to a bigger venue at that point. But that's my hope for you guys, is that I want to see you take that next step and get out and let other territories. Let other areas, you know, see you guys and see your show. Yeah, and I hope that's what happens.
Yeah.
Regardless, it's our home, man.
Yeah, like we have like sort of a general idea of like how we want to approach, like, you know, playing shows in the future, like traveling out and touring and, you know, all that sort of stuff. And I've really taken that advice that you've mentioned to heart, and I think we're going to pursue that.
Yeah.
Hell yeah, man. Hell yeah. You guys are on fire, and you know, you can keep it going. You know, the only people that can really fuck this up at this point is you.
Yeah. You know what I mean?
Like, we bring you up to take it out. Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
That wasn't intention.
That's a good point.
Well, you know what I mean? Like, you've got something good going. Like, you know,
don't fuck it up.
Yeah.
I mean, we all have, like, in our minds, you know, like, we all love each other. This is like our finalized lineup, so no matter what struggles we go through, we'll push through it together. And, you know, it's like a brotherhood, you know, like, well,
that actually
band.
Goes back to when it was just us two. We kind of talked about it. We said that what we're looking for in members are people that we mesh well with. Like, we don't care how good you are at guitar. If you're a total dick, or like you're on hard drugs all the time, or like anything like that, like, you just can't contribute to
just
a project.
Some of the time.
Yeah. But it's just like, if you can't contribute, you know, the way that we expect, you know, this band to go, then like, we don't want you in the band. And so just this finalized lineup, like, we're all on board. We want the same thing. We all have the same goals. And so that's why it just works so well. Because we've had members in and out since me and Aiden started it, like, that we just didn't mesh well with.
Absolutely.
So. And that's hard to find, too. Like, take it from someone who's been in, like, several bands. Like, having everyone be on the same page, wanting to do the same thing, accomplish the same goals, that's, like, difficult. And on top of that, like, all get along well, and we all, like, you know, write similar stuff. Like,
yeah.
Or at least it came together, like, really well for us.
Mm-hmm. We got lucky, for sure. Like, me and CJ, like, he was in a band in middle school, but me and him haven't really ever been in, like, a project that's taken seriously. And our first project, it may have taken us a year and a half to find everybody, but now we have, like, the coolest people in our circle to make music with. Like, it's just fun making music with these guys, you know?
Yeah, and hold on to that, because, like, you're going to get older, you're going to, you know, have families, relationships, you know. As long as you don't let ego, you know, get in the way, you'll be fine, you know. at some point, some of y'all are going to start having kids and all that, and just, you know, you can keep it going. And
what is the noise you
made? Having kids, we're going to wait till I'm waiting until the dreams
get the dreams first.
I need money to support them.
Yeah. Exactly. But
they're still too little.
I keep forgetting how young. But the world's your oyster right now. So is basically what I'm saying. Yeah. You talked a little bit about having similar writing style. Talk a little bit about your influences and how it comes through in the music you write.
You want to go down the line?
Start down there. I need Dave.
Start with Dave.
All right then. I don't know. I'm pretty straightforward. I listen to like deathcore and new metal. So I write bass lines like that, pretty much. I straight up copied Fieldy's sound. I'm not even gonna lie. I mean, you know,
it's funny. Like we all have like vastly different influences, but we all come together.
Yeah.
Like I listen to like a lot of like, I guess, proggy stuff.
Yeah.
And Lamb of God.
A lot of like groovy technical stuff.
Mm-hmm. He's always writing that.
Yeah. Sometimes it doesn't work out.
Well, you know, it's funny with Lamb of God. It's almost like they kind of picked up where Pantera left off.
Yeah, exactly.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. But yeah.
For me, it's quite obvious because people could hear it, but my main influences are Chino Moreno from Deftones and Ollie Sykes from Bring Me the Horizon. So I kind of try to mesh my singing style towards Chino's and my screams and yells towards Ollie's and make like something kind of new and original, even though it still sounds like the same, but, you know, like a different mesh, I guess.
Yeah. Meshing two interesting vocal styles.
I'm all over the place.
My favorite band is Bring Me the Horizon, but I don't take drumming influences from them at all. Like, I think my influences from them come in our electronics, our stage presence. Like, the way that they transition between songs, like, that's... I've seen them live 7 times, and every time I watch them, it's just like, it's almost like a seamless transition between every single song, and it's more of an experience than it is just, you know, playing song to song.
He does all that for us, by the way.
Sound familiar? He's the one that brainstorms, like, all of our, like, live performances. So,
I like Bring Me the Horizon, but it took a few albums. The first couple albums, I wasn't really into.
I'd say, like... they're hard to get into, like, their earlier stuff, like, if you're just, you know, someone that just listens to them. Yeah. But the thing that really influences me is their live performance. Again, like, I've seen them live 7 times, and it was every single time, it was like, that's my favorite concert that I've ever been to. But as far as drumming, Joey Jordison, for sure. Mm-hmm. Yesterday was his birthday. Happy birthday, Joey.
Rest in peace. Yeah.
Again, as a drummer, stage presence, Eric Imprada from, he was in Fever 333, now he's in Night Versus and is also starting a second project, but he does the whole, like, acrobatics and stuff.
Yeah, where you get it from?
My bad. Yeah, so, like, standing up on my stool, getting up from behind my kit, like, climbing shit, like... Like, as
you know
a drummer...
You need to get a rack that's got a top bar that you can swing
that can just
on.
Hang off of it.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
I mean, you do pretty good jumping up on your throne.
My sister won't leave me alone.
Come on, CJ.
But just as a drummer, like, I grew up doing theater and drumline, so, like, I'm always used to, like, you know, putting on that performance and moving around and just being behind a drum set. You watch all these drummers, they're really good, but it's like they have no presence, they're hidden behind a kit, and so it's kind of just like you know.
Some of them, if you talk to other drummers, some of them they want that like that wall of protection, like they're the most antisocial one of the group. You're not like that
sometimes.
When you're on stage, you don't use that as your
on wall. Stage, I become a different person. Yeah. I'll be honest.
You need to get a drum cam. Start uploading drum performances to your YouTube.
Yeah,
we did one time. I
don't know if it ever got uploaded.
I think it was from the second show that we played here.
Yeah.
So I have some drum cams that I just have never uploaded.
I would say, on stage, all of us kind of have, like, our own thing. Like, we all kind of go into, like, our own world and own zone.
You
like,
are 100% correct. Mm-hmm. I've actually picked up on that watching you guys play.
Yeah.
It's just awesome, man. Like, it's just the in-the-moment feel.
Yeah, Gavin's got like this coy kind of like quiet boy look, but then he like kind of is also showboating with it. It's kind of fun. Yeah. You know, this guy's all over you, Dave. You're bouncing all over the stage.
I just bottle up my anger for like everything until, you know, whatever show we happen to have, and then I just come out like angry as shit.
Steve's got this move where he's like, he like makes that face.
Yeah. Which makes me look like I move even more because, you know, he's just standing still.
He needs his wrist back there to be able to pull that
up. We're just like completely different people on and off stage. It's kind of funny.
I'm pretty much one and the same, I would say. On and off.
Just
me.
It's just a little more amplified on stage.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like I said, the stage is like the only time I feel alive, or like I have like depression personally. So the only time I feel like the music is like all I got to me. So like every time I get up there on stage, it's just like I could be like my true 100% self and do like, I mean, I have influences like Ali and Chino with my stage presence too, of course, but you know, just be myself. CJ too. Everybody can kind of speak the same for that, I'm sure.
Yeah.
I'm CJ off stage. I'm Siege on stage.
Siege.
Siege on stage.
Wait, can we do like a the knuckle crack thing into the mic all at once?
Oh, okay.
What?
We should do that.
Why would we do that?
One, two, three. I couldn't get a pop.
What was the purpose of that?
I don't know, because I want to see if it comes up in the podcast, just like a whole bunch of cracks. So when people listen, they're just like, oh, LOL.
We do some of the most random shit. Yeah.
We do.
You do.
Yeah, we do.
Oh, dude, we should talk about the EP.
Oh. Yeah, probably.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
EP. I didn't even realize you had one in the works.
We just dropped an EP.
We dropped the first one.
Yeah, like a week and a half.
Literally 2 weeks later, we're working on the second one.
Yeah.
In the process of recording.
Yeah. I would.
Awesome.
You wanna,
it's moving along fast. Well, yeah. Where do we start?
So.
Like the first tracks on it.
I guess like, so we started the EP with Gothlix, which we dropped back in what it was October. Right? Yeah. And then we recorded Wrist and the rest of the EP within like 2 or 3 days. Especially like me vocally, like, cause we were trying to get it out by January, I think was our goal originally. So like I recorded that whole EP personally, like I was sick. So we were trying to like rush it, like, and get it out there. It was horrible. We went so fast with it, but it was because we really wanted to get it out for people to hear. And, what it took, I think it was in production for like 5 months, right?
Yeah.
Because we recorded in like November. We finally got it out. And
like 2 weeks ago.
It was April 5th on my birthday, which is cool. Mm-hmm. But I really think we, for the conditions we were, you know, kind of under all when we recorded it, like we made a hell of an EP. Mm-hmm. But from my standpoint, like I'm super excited for the next one because we have more time and I'm not sick right now and I record tomorrow. Nice. So I'm looking forward to that.
Also, it just occurred to me, all the songs on the first EP, none of them were 100% written by all of us.
Yeah. That's true too.
So this second EP, all these songs are all five of us contributing all together.
So it's like, completely y'all's baby.
It's completely yours.
Yeah. Is there a noticeable difference with like the tone or the sound?
Oh yeah.
Totally. Yeah.
For sure.
Steve contributes
a producer
a lot.
Too.
Yeah, that's kind of like what we had in mind for like the first two EPs as well. Like we wanted to be able to have all the songs like mesh well with each other, but like not necessarily like the next.
So instead of like a disjointed album, the two EPs make more sense.
Yeah. All songs sound different.
Yeah.
Like vastly.
They're different. The songs like off the first EP, like they're different, but they're like they work well with each other.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And that's kind of how EP 2 is, but it's different from EP 1 in like writing styles and like
it's
the
a
production.
Little lighter.
Yeah, the production's going to be different. It's just we're really excited for EP 2.
Like we plan it to be very ambient, and we will have some heavy stuff on there for people who like our hardcore
and
heavy
stuff. The
heavy stuff
is going to be heavy,
and the soft stuff is going to be
like
soft.
You mentioned that you do have some ambient, even with your performance, it's kind of a vibe you know you're creating. And this is kind of a layman question, but I'll ask it. You know, you guys are working in electronics and stuff in your music. when you're writing, are you still writing a classic way where you're starting with like a riff or
pretty much.
Well, it differs. I think it really just depends, because
I say for songs that are like more focused on like the melody, like the guitar and the vocals, like it usually starts with that. For a lot of our heavier songs, like the one that we just wrote,
the hardcore
one started with a drum track.
Yeah,
it started
like,
with an idea of a guitar, like ambient guitar sound behind it, but the structure of the song, like, it all kind of went off the drum part because it was like, this part needs to hit really hard, this part needs to be fast. I wrote the drum track for that first, and then we finished the rest of it at the next practice.
Yeah, so like with us, like, we'll have like a general idea of like how we want to write a song or like what kind of song we want to write. It doesn't always necessarily start with guitar. Like, I'd say like Gothplex, Dear Jealousy, started with vocals. And we wrote...
Wrist did too, yeah.
And we wrote the song around the vocals. One of the new songs we are working on started with drums. Sorry started with drums.
What did the song that we can't talk about start with? Yeah.
We can't talk about it, can we?
The heaviest song that may or may not be the same. No, I'm saying, like, what do we start with when we started writing? The one that we can't talk about that drops the same as another.
Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah, that was...
That one was all Steve.
Yeah.
I'm fucking confused.
Yeah. Next
you've done a very good job of confusing the audience.
Yeah,
good.
Yeah.
Good.
Next two songs were like...
Are we talking about Fight Club here? You, like, don't talk about Fight Club?
Yeah, these next two songs were, like, entirely... written by Steve, and we just kind of all put
touches on them,
like our own thing on them, and that's working really well for us.
Like for Aurora, for example.
Yeah, and I think that works really well with us, and we're really excited to put that out because I think people are going to like it.
Aurora, June 1st, everybody, possibly. I know a lot of y'all are waiting for Aurora. Most likely June 1st, Aurora.
If I can get my bass fixed in time.
One.
The one where we all turn our flashlights on live.
Yeah.
That's the better one.
Yeah.
That was fun to watch. Yeah, that's a really cool moment.
I love
too.
That song, man.
Yeah, because not a lot of people do shit like that here, you know?
No.
Oh, dude, did I not tell? We probably didn't talk about it. It was at Slay Together, I think. There was this older guy in here, and we did the Aurora thing. he was vibing the whole show.
He just got so angry.
As soon as we did that, he got mad, and he was like, "That's what Slipknot did. Oh my God, yeah. You guys are copycats." And he was like, "Bring back good bands."
Slipknot also played in Drop A Sharp. You mad about
that
too?
Why'd you make him sound like Hank Hill, first of all?
Well, no, dude. If you listen to a video we have of Aurora, you can hear the guy screaming in the crowd,
"Oh, you can't?
Bring back good bands!" I'm just like, dude.
That's one of the more annoying things. As a venue owner, you know, everybody... You know, I get sucked into a lot of conversations like, you know you should get. I get that a lot. Mm-hmm. And it's like, okay, you know, but the older heads, you know, I don't know, maybe when I'm fucking 50-something years old, I'll be stuck in some time warp, but I'm still enjoying new shit.
Yeah.
Right? I'm still enjoying new music. I've never been the guy that's like, this is the... New metal is the best kind of metal. Or anything made before 1989 is, you know, I don't get that mentality. I want to hear all of it.
New metal's awesome.
Yeah. New metal is awesome.
Yeah, but it's
also like metalcore. I think classic heavy metal. You know.
Just being realistic, like, metal's going to die out if it stays the same.
Absolutely.
Yes, exactly. Yeah.
And it's just
because you can't write Ride the Lightning now. No, like, one's going to listen to it.
I mean, as soon as they see a 6-minute song, they're like, nah.
Like, right now, the big thing is that, like, people are mixing, like, R&B with metalcore. Like, you got, like, Sleep Token, Bad Omens, Day
Sleep
Seeker.
Token is nuts.
The plot.
Fucking Bad Omens, I want to see them so bad live.
So it's like, that's the thing that's kind of, like, blowing up right now in the metal scene. But, you know, like I said with my influences, like, I try to focus more on the performance, but then also just the overall vibe. And like, I also listen to a bunch of like electronic music, so like EDM, witch house music,
But I think for like you to really progress like in the metal scene, like you got to do something different.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, absolutely. Yeah.
I mean, there's a band that my wife and I are going to see later this month called Eminence.
Mm-hmm. Oh, they're really good, actually.
Yeah, they're actually a European band, and they're heavy metal, and their lead singer plays violin.
Yep.
And you know, when my wife introduced me to them, when she told me about this band, they play violin. Mm-hmm. I was like, violin over metal. That's interesting. Mm-hmm. Let's check it out. Yeah. Turns out they're fucking awesome, man. Oh, they're so good. She drove 8 hours to Pittsburgh to see them on their very first North American tour a few months back. And then, like, literally the week after she went to that show, it announced they were coming to Charlotte.
Oh, man. Man.
But we got tickets anyway because we love them, right?
Yeah.
And you're right. If you can't innovate, like, we've talked to people before about how, like, you know, how do you stay original? Like, it seems like everything's been written. There's only so many notes on the scale. There's only so many different ways to hit them.
Yeah.
And the innovation is to kind of genre mix, you know, and do different, you know, and incorporate different sounds from different types of music into the metal scene. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that's kind of how you innovate. And that's what's happened. I mean, that's what new metal did. New metal took rap and made, you know, rap rock, and you know, some would argue that Rage Against the Machine started that.
They don't claim it.
I would agree with that.
They wouldn't know.
Personally. Yeah.
What's that?
Rage Against the Machine kind of bringing about, even though they're not really new metal, like the age of new metal. And even now you have like new core, which is like new metal and metalcore, which is what some people call us. I'd say more alt metal, like alternative metal. But
honestly, I don't even really know what to...
Yeah,
I don't even know what to call ourselves.
Well, see, I try to steer away from these types of conversations with people because people get like, you know, they get tribal about it. Yeah. It's like, this is the...
Get territorial.
Well, it's...
Yeah, yeah, and it's like, dude, I just like metal music.
Yeah,
man. Like,
yeah.
True. There's new metal bands that I love, and there's new metal bands that I really fucking can't stand.
It's funny, though, because we've actually... Sometimes it's hard for us to find shows because when people go listen to our music, they're like, they're either too heavy or they're not heavy enough.
And yeah, nobody knows what to put us on.
Yeah, yeah, there's not like a ton of like bands that really mesh well with like the heavy shit that we do, and then like the light stuff that we do. So it's like we get put on some weird show sometimes.
Yeah.
Well, I like the lineup you put together for this show. This show this Friday, May the 3rd, right here at the Rooster. Get tickets online, save a few bucks. Yeah. But you know, Caught Off Guard, they're kind of like a punk pop band, really.
Yeah.
And I really, really do. I mean this when I say I do love the multi-genre shows because it's all, to me, in my mind, they're showcases.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's a showcase. Look at all the awesome things happening in the rock and roll scene right now.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So I like it. I mean, there's something to be said. Certain, like black metal, death metal, you know, you don't want to jump, you don't want to put a pop punk band on the black metal show.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's a specific type of show.
Yeah.
But when you have bands that are versatile like you are, it's always good to bring in bands that have different sounds. Now, I don't know anything about Sway.
They're shoegaze, pretty much.
Shoegaze?
They're, like they're really good. If you've heard, like, Momophobia, who we were going to have on the show originally,
they're going to be here on the 14th.
Their new project is really fucking good. Go listen to that if you haven't. But them and Sway are kind of one of the same, where they have, like, this heavy shoegaze sound. And I think we kind of mesh well with that because it's up our alley. Not exactly the same thing, but I'm super excited for Sway on the show, to be honest with you.
And the White Horse, you know, those guys, they're another band that's like putting in work, and you know, they're like what they're out they're Forest City, right? Or
Shelby.
They know these guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I used to be in the White Horse when I was younger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. I remember that conversation.
Yeah.
I like, because, well, the first time they played here, and they've played here a couple times now, and both times they start by covering Head Like a Hole.
Yeah.
Which is cool.
I love that cover.
I do too.
Love it. But when the first time they played here, I was like, wait a minute, are you going covers? Like, I thought they were just going to play like metal songs, which would have been fine. But it's like they do this one cover and then kind of jump into their own. It's almost, it's kind of smart because it like grabs your attention right out the gate.
Yeah.
Because who doesn't love Head Like a Hole, right?
Yeah.
Great
fucking
song. And then they kind of draw you in. And then they start doing their thing. It's like, oh man, these guys rock out. So, again, great job putting together a cool lineup.
Thank you.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, even like the covers, like how they did, like our My Own Summer cover, like, That's a pretty heavily covered song with a lot of people.
I really wish y'all start covering You've Seen the Butcher. I think you guys are perfect for that song.
Dun 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 dun.
It's like a sexy song, right? You know, it's
and you slowly enter. Because you know my room.
But yeah, it's like any covers that we do, we try to make it our own in some way. Like, because our My Own Summer cover, we have like that hardcore breakdown in the very middle. Because it's just like, I mean, everyone covers My Own Summer, and, you know, it's a great song, but all the covers that you hear are pretty much the same.
It's it's the same thing for like Simple Man with like cover bands.
Yeah, oh, yeah.
Like, who hasn't been to a bar and heard Simple Man?
Yeah. That's true.
You know what I mean? Like, yeah. It's a song everybody plays. But yeah, that's, and I even suggest to you guys, like, y'all need to be doing You've Seen the Blue. If you're going to do Deftones, do it right.
Yeah.
Man, now we need a Knife Party.
Oh, dude, I love that. Too. That's a great one, too.
We're actually doing a, funny enough, we're doing a Deftones cover set for the Milestone for their, like, their Halloween thing. So this year we're going to do, like, 7 Deftones songs and dress up as Deftones or whatever.
Sweet.
Awesome. It's going to be cool. Should I not have mentioned that? Or is
I
don't that okay?
know. No, it's cool because I've mentioned we're it before on the show last year when I saw that when they released that last year's, and I was like, fuck, that's a great idea.
Yeah,
I was jealous. I was like, shit, why didn't I think of that? So now I can't do it. So, yeah, good doing it to Boston.
Just the half Halloween.
You could just do, like, opposite day shows.
If they do it on a Friday, do it on a Saturday.
Yeah, exactly. Like, the show's actually not today because it's opposite 2 days.
Yeah.
So, like, it's got to be, like, opposite of your genre. Like, we come in and do, like, a jazz set.
Yeah.
We
do Billie Eilish.
Now, I'll tell you what, do a Thanksgiving show.
I was gonna say we just talked about this, but like, you do like a boy band tribute.
I'm gonna be Sugar Ray.
Oh, you totally could do that.
Yeah, you could pull that off.
Sugar Ray, like, y'all seen the Scooby Doo movie where Sugar Ray's there? Like, I look like that.
Yeah, you got to make sure you get Mark McGrath like into this move of doing this all the time.
He's another one who moans just like Chino, so I think I could probably do it.
But I'm like, why was this his go-to dance move?
Yeah, I don't know.
Like, you know anyway. What? He had a funny thought. I don't know if I should say it.
Say it.
It sounds like he's dancing with cougars. At, you know, like,
yeah. CJ,
I can just see you up there going, someday.
Talk about your love for Poppy and how we should do a Poppy cover set.
Oh, Poppy. Oh. Okay, I'm just gonna be straight up. Like, I love Poppy, and like, she's a very attractive woman and a very talented person, but like, I pull a lot of my inspiration from her just because of like her stage presence, like even her social media presence. She's very weird. Like, if you go back and watch like the early 2000s Poppy videos on YouTube, like, they're just very uncanny, and you know,
you're blushing.
I am.
I've never really seen you do that. That's crazy. When he said Poppy, you were like, he went all like glassy eyes.
Poppy, if you ever see this, if you ever see this Poppy, yeah, my man right here,
Poppy, let's collaborate. but
collaborate.
Poppy, like, just the way that she does her music. I mean, you go listen to one album, it's super, super heavy. And then you go listen to another one, it's like internet, like radio pop. And it's just like, she's kind of like innovating the metal scene just as herself right now. Like, she just released a song with Knocked Loose. And a song with Bad Omens. But then, like, you go all the way back and listen to her early stuff, it's like, you would never have seen that coming.
There are some people that want to shit on artists that like change their sound up and like, you know, will do different things, and I don't get that mentality. You know, if you understand artists, you understand like you evolve, you experiment more than anything, and you know, experimenting has gotten a lot of bands into trouble. My generation, if you stepped out of your sound, you would get shit on.
Right.
Yeah.
You know, that
happened with Pearl Jam. It happened with Stone Temple Pilots. You know, a lot of the bands that were heavy or that were really huge in the early 90s, you know, didn't get the recognition for their later albums because they experimented and did different stuff. Because
it didn't stay in their lane.
But now I think it's like the internet kind of changed all that. And you know, we all have all kinds of shit inside of us that need to get out. And sometimes it's going to be heavy. Sometimes it's going to be ambient. Sometimes it's going to be poppy. And I got no problem with that. Yeah. Yeah. At all. So is your next album going to be a pop album?
Funny enough. I don't know if I should mention it.
Go ahead.
Dude, I don't even know what you're... Well, we have a song that we're going to have collaborating with several different artists. Different genres.
Good.
They're all going to contribute.
I think that's great. That's
awesome. Going to contribute onto this one song that we're making. So I'm not telling you who's on it. I'm not telling you what the song is. But, yeah, it's a song written about the community, for the community, about friends, with our friends.
Fucking right on.
That's cool.
Yeah.
So it's like, it doesn't even matter what genre they're in. It's like they have the same vision that we have, and like we've been there for each other. We've supported each other. And so like that's kind of how that whole song is going about.
Awesome. Yeah. I love that. That's a great, we should probably wrap up soon. Let's, y'all, that's a great way to, I want to end on a high note, man. Is there anything else you want to promote or tell the audience anything you want to share before
the
we get
Flies
out?
EP just released April 5th. Go listen to it. Let us know if you like it or you hate it.
Yeah.
Preferably if you like it, though.
Yeah, preferably if you like it. If you hate it, just don't say anything.
Yeah, just keep that to yourself.
Headlining show here, May 3rd.
Yeah.
Yep.
And we also are doing an anniversary show, most likely June 1st, hopefully. It'll be a house show if everything goes as planned. So we hope to see you guys soon.
Folks, catch these guys now while you can, because there's a good chance we won't be able to afford them anymore in the very near future.
Maybe they'll come back and do it as a favor.
Hey, Slipknot just went back to the very first venue that they played last week. So.
Yeah, I would love to come back to like venues that we've played at when we were like smaller.
That would be like a giving back thing because you would know that you could draw and pack the house.
Yeah.
Well, we love you guys.
No, what we would do is we would just do it outside and get a piece.
Right? Yeah. Yeah, y'all would be the headliner for like Brewstock or something.
Y'all brag on us. Let us brag on you. We love you guys. You guys treat us very well and are very kind to us, and we
Brewster
appreciate that.
Brewster is the best venue. Well,
One of the most welcoming venue I have ever played.
Absolutely. Thank you for that, fellas. I appreciate it.
But we do love you.
We love you guys. Thanks again for doing this. I really appreciate it. Be here this Friday, May 3rd.
May 3rd.
Peace and love.
There's a camera there and a camera there.